The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from WashingtonPost.com, the April and May edition of Food Network Magazine. I have an article from SpectrumLocalNews.com, FoodandWine.com, and the May issue of Real Simple Magazine. And first up, from WashingtonPost.com, I have an interesting story for you about Braille cookbooks. Braille cookbooks bring blind cooks recipes thanks to federal program. By this past summer, Sherry Gomez had received in the mail a book of Portuguese recipes and Le Cordon Bleu's classic French cookbook. A book of air fryer recipes was en route, while still other titles had caught her interest, volumes on casseroles, slow cookers, Italian cuisine, and holiday cookies. There's the Book Lover's Cookbook and the Anne of Green Gables Cookbook. I need a few more bookshelves. Gomez, a retiree and novelist who is blind, says giddily of the collection, all of it in Braille, that's blooming at her home in Patterson, California. It's an abrupt shift for Gomez, age 65, who recently also obtained a dozen or so favorite literary works in Braille, now that an arm of the Library of Congress has brought book ownership within closer reach than ever. The nearly century-old National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled lends audio, large print, and Braille reading materials through a nationwide network of libraries, the Postal Service, and via download. But in June 2022, following counterparts in Canada, the United Kingdom, and elsewhere, the NLS added a feature, reproducing Braille books and magazines on demand from its collection. Items are mailed to NLS users up to five per month per person, free and to keep. Technically, it's an indefinite loan. Cookbooks have been one of the program's more popular genres, accounting for nearly 500 of the almost 8,000 requests made as of mid-December last year. Like other top categories, best-selling fiction, religious texts, books on knitting and crochet, cookbooks tend to be thumbed repeatedly over time. We all have things that we refer back to, says Kristen Fernekes, the NLS's head of communications, or when you're culling your bookshelf, you're thinking, well, I couldn't possibly get rid of that. The demand for owning a cookbook was expected, she says. Food is universal, it's social, and it's a quote-unquote messy prospect. Braille cookbooks and Braille books in general, beyond popular titles and authors, can be difficult to find for purchase or are priced beyond a splurge, some Braille users say. Quality-controlled Braille is expensive to produce, involving transcription into the raised dot code, proofreading, and for cookbooks, extra formatting. And Braille often requires more pages and thicker paper. What has changed now, in part, is the growing availability of electronic Braille, digital files for Braille e-readers, which are devices with pins that move up and down to render refreshable lines of Braille text, can also be sent to a Braille embosser for printing, as the NLS does, to fill its on-demand requests. E-Braille files are an iterative step now in the production of almost any Braille, Fernekes says. So even as the NLS moves forward, it now offers Braille e-readers on loan as costs have eased and as downloads of its roughly 20,000 e-Braille books have spiked in recent years, hard copy Braille moves with it. So far, the cookbooks requested by users mostly represent a familiar mix. Manifestos on fast, slow, few ingredient, diet friendly, or single pan pot skillet cooking. Recipes to warm a memory of, say, Ithaca, New York's Moosewood restaurant, or Disney theme parks, and volumes from TV chefs, including the best-selling Recipes from My Home Kitchen by Christine Ha, who is blind and a James Beard Award semifinalist chef and restaurateur in Houston. She seized renown in 2012 by winning Gordon Ramsay's Home Cook Standoff MasterChef. And Ha says that afterwards she heard from others with visual impairments who felt represented and empowered by her presence in the competition. I felt like I was able to show the sighted world, hey, just because I have this disability doesn't mean I can't do well. The most requested cookbook, tied with Meredith Lawrence's Air Fry Genius, is perhaps less familiar. Cooking Without Looking, Food Preparation, Methods, and Techniques for Visually Handicapped Homemakers. The book by Esther Knudsen Tips emerged from her 1956 master's thesis, for which she interviewed blind cooks in Texas. At the NLS, it's enough of a mainstay that its available formats trace the arc of media from Braille to audio cassette, digital audio and e-Braille, and now print on demand. Other popular titles include culinary cornerstones, such as the first volume of Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child, Louisette Bertholdt and Simone Beck, which itself is 8 volumes in Braille, and Joy of Cooking by Irma S. Rombauer, Marion Rombauer Becker, and Ethan Becker, a wall-devouring 30 volumes in Braille. Oh, they have it! Kristen Watucky, an NLS user in Highland Park, New Jersey, remembers thinking when she searched for that book, only then to realize its expanse. Oh, no. For Watucky, age 42, who is a novelist, accessibility specialist, and podcast host, owning a hard copy Braille book, until recently, was a quote-unquote luxury. She had sought Joy of Cooking, in part, simply to share its ubiquity. It's so well known, she says, everyone who can see has that book. Ultimately, she passed on it, though, although 12 others have gotten it, according to the NLS. Christina A. Clift in Millington, Tennessee, requested an Instant Pot cookbook from the service in July. It's one of the first hard copy Braille books she has owned, cookbook or otherwise, despite a love of reading. I've never been able to really justify buying them, says Clift, age 48, president of the Memphis chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. Clift, Watucky, and others instead tend to find recipes online, though they're careful to leave phones and Braille devices out of the kitchen to avoid an expensive mishap. Clift cooks from a 3-ring binder of recipes she transcribes into Braille, while Watucky will read an online recipe and memorize the steps. I have a pretty good memory, but it's not foolproof, she says. I would love to be able to have a book and just feel a little more laid back about cooking. Gomez, the author in California, has recipes that she copied into Braille from library books, or often will turn up the volume on her computer's screen reader and use a wireless keyboard in the kitchen to navigate a recipe line by line. Although she takes full advantage of screen readers, audiobooks, e-Braille, and other technology, Amazon's Alexa helps Gomez skirt her air fryer's unreadable touchscreen, for instance. For Gomez, each part of a whole when it comes to reading, along with hard copy Braille. I still like the feel of a Braille book in my hands and under my fingers, she says. In the kitchen, it adds comfort to a space where she feels creative and generous, where she finds the memory of her grandmother and recipes for rum cake and apple pie and the spark that started her cooking at around age 9, about 4 years after she went blind from an autoimmune disease. I remember coming home from school one day and asking my mom if she would teach me how to make chocolate chip cookies. And she said, okay, honey. But apparently the next day she called my pediatrician and said, Sherry wants to make cookies. What should I do? The doctor said, well, teach her. What if she burns herself? Her mother asked. Do you ever burn yourself when you cook? The doctor replied. So one weekend, she and I made chocolate chip cookies together, Gomez says, and I've loved cooking ever since. All right, next up, pimento cheese, please. This Southern classic never goes out of style. You can't talk about Southern food without mentioning pimento cheese. The beloved spread, affectionately called Carolina caviar, and the pate of the South, is a combination of cheddar cheese, pimentos, and mayonnaise. But beyond the basic ingredients, no one can agree on exactly how it should be made. Fans stand divided on Hellman's mayo versus Duke's, coarsely shredded cheese versus finely grated, and other details. Families closely guard their recipes, and so does the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, where pimento cheese sandwiches have been a favorite since 1950s. You can try Food Network Kitchen's recipe, though. It isn't a secret at all, and I've got it right here. So, for pimento cheese, you will need 4 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature, 1/3 cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/8 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, plus more to taste, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, 8 ounces of sharp or extra sharp cheddar cheese, grated, 1 4-ounce jar of diced pimentos, drained, and crackers and or crudités for serving. So it's pretty simple. Combine the cream cheese, mayonnaise, onion powder, cayenne, a pinch of salt, and a few grinds of black pepper in a medium bowl. Stir well to combine. Mix in the cheddar and pimentos until well combined. Season with more salt and pepper if needed, and then refrigerate it until it's ready to serve. And then the other part of the article is questions, anyone? Question, what is a pimento anyway? Answer, pimentos, also called pimientos, peppers in Spanish, are small, red, heart-shaped peppers. They're generally mild and slightly sweet. How did pimentos make their way into cheese? In the late 1800s, farmers in upstate New York started making a soft cheese that eventually evolved into cream cheese. Around the same time, the U.S. began importing pimentos from Spain. In 1908, Good Housekeeping magazine published a recipe for a sandwich made with cream cheese and pimentos, and the idea took off. And then, why is pimento cheese so popular in the South? Pimentos imported from Spain were pricey back in the day, so farmers in Griffin, Georgia, figured out how to grow their own. By 1938, they were producing 10 million cans a year, and the state earned the title Pimento Capital of the World. Eugenia Duke, founder of the Southern mayonnaise brand Duke's, promoted pimento cheese to boost mayo sales. And then finally, I've got 10 things to do with pimento cheese. Spread on an ear of corn, spoon into a deviled egg, layer on a burger or sandwich, sandwich it in a quesadilla, ooh, add to a baked potato, scoop into a baby bell pepper, slather onto French fries, stir it into grits, spread it onto celery sticks, and finally, stuff into olives. And as an added note, freshly grated cheddar cheese works the best. Now I've got a human interest story for you, and I missed this. This was published in 2021, but I did check the sources attached, and it is still something that is going on. So I thought it would be good to share with you. 33rd and Elm Industries of the Blind opens coffee shop. And this was an article on spectrumlocalnews.com. Let's see. And it is Dateline Greensboro, North Carolina. Industries of the Blind's latest extension offers job opportunities to people who are blind or visually impaired. And this is what you need to know. At least 70% of people who are blind or visually impaired in the U.S. are unemployed. 33 and Elm Coffee House was created by Industries of the Blind to provide food options for employees located close to the company. Cassie Avery, who is blind, searched for work for months in Florida, but ultimately moved to Greensboro just for a job with 33 and Elm. So here we go. Cassie Avery spent most of her life living in Florida. When she began her job search, she had a lot of difficulty finding work. Avery is blind, and she believes disclosing this to some employees is what stopped her from getting hired. While Avery is able to work, she needs some accommodations to help her do her job. Accommodations can be time-consuming or expensive, or maybe employers are scared because they don't know that we can do our job the same as everybody else, Avery said. After looking for work in Florida, Avery widened her search. A Google search led her to find Industries of the Blind in Greensboro. She anticipated some work in manufacturing or sewing, but instead, leaders told her about a new coffee shop that would be opening. It would serve as a food option for employees who typically relied on third-party delivery services. Moving seemed like the right choice to make. I'm really good at technology, so I applied, I got it, and here we are, Avery said. Avery was hired as a cashier for 33 and Elm Coffee House, where she uses accommodations like the voiceover feature on an iPad to take orders for customers. Other staff members are visually impaired as well. The coffee shop first opened its doors only for Industries of the Blind employees. The shop started serving the public in August of 2021. I'm a people person, so I like the opportunity. People come down and I can banter and have a good time and get paid for it, Avery says. Avery believes she's found her perfect fit in her job as a cashier. She enjoys interacting with people and brightening their day with something as simple as a cup of coffee. She knows that the skills she's obtaining at work can be brought anywhere, which has inspired her to think about her career. As anyone does, I'm sure I love making money, but it's good because not a lot of people can say they love their jobs. I actually enjoy what I do, and it's something that I could maybe see making a career out of, Avery said. And for more information on 33 and Elm Coffee House, I have their website. It is the number three, and then the words and, E-L-M, coffeehouse.com. So that is 33 and elmcoffeehouse.com. And I just went to their homepage and they say, coffee poured with purpose. Our mission to empower people through coffee guides us. Here are a few ways we fulfill this mission. We are a 501c3 nonprofit under the Industries of the Blind Parent Organization. 100% of net income goes towards supporting Industries of the Blind. All of our products are locally sourced by one of the amazing Greensboro roasters, and we offer job opportunities to visually impaired individuals who often struggle to find work. So visit that website if you would like, and head on over to Greensboro and give them a visit and see about the good work they're doing. All right, next up from the Food Network magazine, I have an article, The Seltzer Boom. Our enthusiasm for fizzy water is bubbling over. See what's coming. Trend experts predict a new wave of floral flavors. You can already find honeysuckle, rose, and lavender seltzers. Lemon and lime seltzers are always crowd pleasers, but versions of yuzu and Asian fruit are on the rise. Seltzer lovers are adding it to coffee and espresso. Bobby Flay likes a sparkling iced Americano. If you've visited the beverage aisle lately, you might have guessed that America is on a seltzer kick. We're drinking it about as quickly as companies can bottle it. Sales of flavored sparkling water rose almost 50% in just 3 years, according to Beverage Digest, and global sales are expected to double by 2030. New brands and flavors seem to arrive nonstop, along with limited edition and special releases that get everyone buzzing. Rainbow Sherbet from Good and Gather, Mango Chili from Aura Bora, the elusive Unicorn Kisses from Polar. There's science behind the bliss that comes from bubbles. Research shows that seltzer can help us feel satiated. Plus, drinking carbonated water can increase blood flow and boost our mood. Who doesn't need that? According to a study in physiology and behavior. Craving an ice-cold glass? Read on. All right, what's the difference between seltzer and other fizzy waters? Okay, seltzer is carbonated by a machine or tank. It doesn't typically contain any additional ingredients beyond flavoring. Mineral water. This can be naturally carbonated and contains minerals. The mineral content and bubble size vary by source. And then club soda. This bar cart staple is made by adding carbonation and minerals like sodium to water. Some taste mildly metallic. And then tonic water. This is closer to soda in sweetness. It contains quinine, which is made from bark and gives the mix its bitter flavor. And so now I've got a little history, a brief history of seltzer for you. A name for bubbly. The word seltzer comes from the German town of Selters, S-E-L-T-E-R-S, known for its naturally carbonated mineral springs. Selters water is still sold in Europe today. Big business. In the late 18th century, amateur scientist Johann Jacob Schwepp, S-C-H-W-E-P-P-E, we've all heard of Schweppes, starts experimenting with carbonation. He goes on to launch a mineral water company that still produces seltzer and more today. Spring fever. Dr. Louis Eugene Perrier, medical director of a thermal springs spa in France in 1898, suggests selling the spring's naturally carbonated water. This was the bottling plant. Counter service. Seltzer treats rule soda fountains. Seltzer treats rule soda fountains by the early 1900s. Led by the egg cream, which is seltzer milk and chocolate syrup, and lime Ricky, which is seltzer, lime juice, and fruit syrup. Special delivery. In the 1920s and 30s, thousands of drivers known as seltzer men dropped off bottles on people's doorstep and returned to pick up the empties. A new twist. Original New York seltzer popularizes flavors like vanilla cream and orange in the 1980s. La Croix and other companies follow with more options to satisfy Americans' search for soda alternatives. And finally, the next wave. Seltzer makers are now turning to the cocktail world for inspiration and creating more drinks based on international flavors like Wild Wonder Pineapple Paradise with Sichuan peppercorn. So now I think you need to try some seltzer. All right, from foodandwine.com, this was published a couple of days ago, Amazon launches new grocery delivery subscription in the U.S. Amazon is making it easier for Prime members to get their groceries in record time. On Tuesday, the online retail giant launched a new low-cost grocery delivery subscription service only for its Prime members for $9.99 a month. The service is also available for those with a registered SNAP / EBT card for $4.99 per month and is available to customers in more than 3,500 cities and towns across the U.S. According to a release shared with Food and Wine, the subscription, which was piloted in three cities last year, 2023, includes unlimited delivery on orders over $35 from Whole Foods Market, Amazon Fresh, and several local grocery and specialty retailers on Amazon.com, and from spots like Cardenas Markets, Save Mart, Bartell Drugs, Rite Aid, Pet Food Express, and Mission Wine and Spirits. Jose Andres just shared his... that doesn't belong here. This new grocery subscription benefit provides even more value and savings on delivery fees for customers who regularly order groceries from Amazon Fresh, Whole Foods Market, and the variety of local grocery and specialty retailers on Amazon.com. Tony Hoggett, Senior Vice President of Worldwide Grocery Stores at Amazon, shared via email. According to Amazon, the new subscription also includes free one-hour delivery windows, where available, unlimited 30-minute pickup on orders of any size, and priority access to recurring reservations for weekly grocery orders. And as Amazon's own math noted, the subscription pays for itself in as little as one delivery order per month from Whole Foods Market or one delivery order per month from Amazon Fresh for under $50. Additionally, Prime members will continue to receive the same exclusive deals and discounts online and in-store that they've been getting for years. Those of you out there who aren't yet Prime members or who are Prime members and are interested in trying out the service can use Amazon's free 30-day trial before signing up to see if it's the right fit for you. Learn more about this delivery service at Amazon.com. All righty. We have run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.